Fortunately, I had planned this safety man consulting, you know, about a year before I retired. So I had another job where I could still give back. I could still make a difference. I could still help prevent people from having a bad day or for suffering a tragedy. So again, it goes back to what did I say is kind of plan what you want to do. I'm not saying you have to retire on Friday and then Monday go back to a 9 to 5. Take some time off. Take some time to enjoy your family, your friends, yourself, relax, chill, whatever you need to do, but have a plan. You don't want to start then looking for some. Try to start planning beforehand.
This is Corey Jones with the Be Ready with Safety Man podcast. Join us every week for a new podcast. Follow us everywhere podcasts are played and on YouTube. Be Ready with Safety Man. This is Corey Jones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to the Safety Man podcast. I am your co-host, Anthony DeHoagie, and I'm here with the main man, Corey, the safety man himself. What's up, buddy?
Yo, what's up, Hoagie? Safetyman.co, at SafetyManCO, all social media, like, follow, listen, share, subscribe. Let your friends know about all the good, fun information we got coming on here.
So today on the podcast, I'm throwing something out that it's more of your side of the story here, but I have a couple questions going forward. I'm not there yet, but I know a lot of people are getting close to that point or maybe just making the transition. Corey, I know you are retired from police work. A couple questions, I guess, going on. Like, what should people, the first question is, what should people expect going in retirement? Like, maybe what's something that you didn't expect, or we can kind of dive into it from there, but what should people expect going into the retirement world from police work?
First thing, plan it. Plan your retirement. Those last 3 years went really fast for me. I can remember saying, I got 3 years left. And next thing you know, I had 3 weeks left. So plan that retirement. Get some hobbies. If you're going to need to work, start getting that resume built. There's lots of professional organizations. The state will help you do some retirement planning as far as your financial side of it. The FOP, the PBA, they offer some counseling services that can help get your finances straight. Make sure you get your health care. Make sure you get all your paperwork done, your pension, and all that stuff so it can be seamless. Okay. My I stopped getting paid direct deposit from the agency every 2 weeks, but that 1 month later, state of New Jersey Division of Pensions and Benefits direct deposited my pension check right into my account without missing a beat. So they are really good to go. Healthcare kicked in without missing a beat right there. We were good to go. So those are some of the things I could expect because I had some good guidance and people telling me what to do. Here's what I didn't expect. I didn't know that I was actually really going to miss the job.
Here's what I've heard people, I've asked a million people, like, you know, what do you miss? People tell me not so much they miss the job, but they miss the working with the people, you know, working with their coworkers. They miss that part of the job. Yeah. Is that correct to say, I guess, that you miss working with a group of guys and girls? You know, that's what they tell me. They said, I don't miss all the BS, but they're like, I miss working with my friends and coworkers and stuff.
Yeah. Well, you're going to find this, you'll appreciate this, but it's kind of a little bit counter to that. There's some of the people that I miss, quite frankly. There's some of the people that I'm like, oh, if I don't have to see this person again, I'm good. I don't miss that person. I actually, you know, because I was a supervisor, I actually missed the responsibility. I missed feeling that I was important. Now, I know I'm important.
You're important to me, Corey. You're important.
Thank you. I know. But I think you can kind of get it. When you get to, you know, a call for service, when people are looking to you to help fix it, that's kind of why we joined up, right? That's kind of why we signed up, to help people having a bad day or to keep people from having a bad day. And when I got the calls, I was in charge of the call, the whole town, police, fire, EMS. I was the man. And when all of a sudden that was gone, there was definitely a hole there. Mm-hmm. There was definitely a hole there. So psychologically, I did definitely miss that. Fortunately, I had planned this safety man consulting, you know, about a year before I retired. So I had another job where I could still give back. I could still make a difference. I could still help prevent people from having a bad day or for suffering a tragedy. So again, it goes back to what did I say is kind of plan what you want to do. I'm not saying you have to retire on Friday and then Monday go back to a 9 to 5. Take some time off. Take some time to enjoy your family, your friends, yourself, relax, chill, whatever you need to do, but have a plan. You don't want to start then looking for some. Try to start planning beforehand.
I've seen some guys retire, and I think the mentality, you know, I mean, obviously as police officers, we have huge egos. And I think one of the shockers that I've seen other people kind of deal with is that they think, oh, I'm a police officer, I can just get any job and go do anything. And they think they can just walk into anything. And they're going to realize, one, there's a lot of people that like police, but there's a lot of people that don't, and they don't want to work with police. So they have to realize that they're not just going to just walk in, and your skills of like handling situations and carrying firearms doesn't naturally apply to like some kind of sales job, right? Like, yeah, you might be a people person, but the way you handle things and they want you to sell stuff might be different. There's a whole bunch of different avenues of jobs out there that police think they could just walk into. And that's not going to be possibly the case for a lot of people. And then the other thing I think that a lot of officers, from talking to them, they're not used to, you know, like you said, you're kind of in charge. You're kind of the man out there, right? And now you're going to a job where you got a bunch of like 25-year-olds telling you what to do. So, you know, if you're going to be going into some kind of new field, you got to expect that you're going to be the low man or low woman on the totem pole there. And that, you know, you're not going to be, if you retired up here with this seniority and stuff, you're starting over again. So I think people kind of got to realize they're not going to just walk into any job. They're not going to just get offered, you know, $250,000 to go do something fun. It's probably going to be starting at the bottom again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You got to be able to check that ego at the door. That was a good word that you said there. Because you got to be a type A person to be a police officer, be an effective police officer. Not cocky, you know, but you do have to be assertive. You do have to come in, take control of the situation, find the best avenue to save it, and then find the best avenue to get those people involved in it, the help that they need. But not every job is like that. Some jobs require, like Anthony alluded to, a finer, a softer touch, or a different way of doing things. And our way does not fit in the customer service model of a lot of companies. A lot of companies, the customer is always right. In law enforcement, the law is always right. I mean, the law is the law. It's written. I have to enforce the law. You crash your car into that telephone pole, I will issue you a ticket.
Yeah.
Just because you cry doesn't mean I'm not going to issue a ticket. You go to some, you know, customer service oriented businesses, the customer, okay, what can we do to make you happy? You know, and that may be a big hurdle for some people to get over.
Yeah. I'm kind of going to go down the same route because I'm kind of starting to do stuff, obviously, on the side. I'm not going to get into it on the podcast here, but I have some other things going on that I'm slowly starting to build up on the side. I would recommend this because I like the way, you know, you went into business pretty much for yourself. Here's what I would, you know, offer to people is that if you can, right? I mean, you're going to have that base pension check coming in every month. It should be, if you financially spend those 20 or 25 years getting your stuff in line before you retire, get your mortgages squared away, get your car payments underlined and figure out what you can do. I mean, I don't want to use the word gamble, but you can gamble on yourself, right? Like you can invest in yourself. Like if you have a hobby or something you really want to go to the next level and really try to work it out, here's your chance. Because you know, at the end of the day, if it doesn't work, I still have that pension check coming in. It's still going to cover my bills, still going to pay care of this. And now you have the chance of doing what you love to do or what you want to do.
Yeah.
Instead of going to work some crappy job because now you have to, like, so that is my plan. Because I've seen what you did. You went into business yourself. I'm starting to start doing stuff now, getting ready, because I have a couple years left myself, but I'm getting very close as well, because I'm probably going to take an earlier retirement than most. But I like the way you did it. You know, you went into business for yourself. You seem happy. You seem content. You seem that you are enjoying what you're doing now.
I am. And that's important. That's really important, because there's that statistic. I don't know if it's a real statistic, if it's a wife's tale, but they say that a lot of cops, unfortunately, within 5 years of retiring, they have a heart attack or don't live much longer. And I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with adrenaline, lifestyle, the damage we did to our psyches, to our body. You know, I know you guys are having it. I wasn't fortunate enough to get the resiliency training, but take advantage of that resiliency training that they offer law enforcement officers and all first responders now to ensure. And they're going to tell you the same thing that Anthony and I are saying right now. Get some hobbies that aren't related to police work. Get some friends that aren't in police work. Have your police and cop buddy friends too, but get some other friends just so you can experience some other things and get exposed to other things and realize that, you know, there's normal people and there's normal things out there. Not everything is my back's up against the wall and I'm continually scanning for additional threats. You know, yeah, your job is to keep everybody safe. You're probably going to want to do that till the day you die or can't physically do it anymore. But you also want to be able to enjoy yourself and relax and go back into that condition yellow for a little while, not conditioned orange all the time where I'm looking for threat.
And I think you did it the right way where you started planning out, you said a year or two beforehand. So now your body was already getting used to trying to do these other things. I think what happens is, you know, these guys and girls, they do something for 20, 25 years, and then all of a sudden they stop. And now they're doing something completely different and they're jumping right into something new and their body's like, eh. You know, but if you've already started transitioning into that for a couple of years, your body's going to get used to going to the range more like you're doing or doing something more. So now it's like, okay, I stopped doing this as much, but I'm still doing this a little more. So it's a smoother transition, you know, from one to the other. And I think a lot of times too, is the other thing that hurts guys and girls is that they went from being active and then all of a sudden they're like, I'm just going to sit back and be Joey Sixpack and just drink beers and go, you know, fishing and watch TV all day. And then their body's like, all right, you're done. You know, and they have the heart attack and die because their body thinks they're just over, you know. And I mean, I'm going to be retiring in my 40s. Some guys early 50s. You know, you still got 40 years to go in your life. So, you know, you have on average, if you're going to be, you know, trying to stay healthy. So I think that if you think you're just going to hang it up at 48 years old and do nothing for 40 years, your body's going to go, all right, you're useless. We're going to shut it down.
Yeah. Yeah. So plan ahead, talk to people that are in your shoes, go to a couple FOP meetings, PBA meetings, whatever your union is, talk to some of the guys and girls that have already retired and they're still hanging out, find out what transitions that they made, what was new, what was a shock. Like I said, for me, it was not feeling like I was important, not feeling like people needed me. And it's weird because the stress of having all these people come up and look to me and ask me for answers in an emergency situation was high. But, you know, I missed it when it was done. I missed it. I don't miss it anymore. You know, I watch enough videos and I watch enough news, realize, I wouldn't want to be that boss. I wouldn't want to be that cop right now. But I still like to be involved. I still like to train the junior officers. I still like being involved. Some of my jobs have me going out and training officers and firearms and other tactics of verbal de-escalation and resiliency. And a bowler wrap and a couple other things to make police and citizens safer and more effective. So I still feel that I'm contributing to a safer society, which has always been my goal.
Yeah, you definitely are. So, I mean, you know, and you're doing stuff you want to do. So,
yep.
But we'll probably touch on this again as I get closer to retirement. We'll probably maybe do a part two in a couple of years or whatnot. But no, thanks, Corey. I like that advice. And I hope some other people listening. Again, other people listening, if you're watching, make sure, first off, that you subscribe to Corey's Safety Man podcast. And on top of that, make sure that you drop down some comments. Give us some ideas. Yeah. We've kind of created some of these episodes from your ideas that you've given us. So feel free to comment some ideas or things that have worked for you. And we'll explore those avenues as well.
Yes. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. People talking about retirement, it can be a shock to the system. It can be an emotional letdown. It can cause you to have some thoughts that you wouldn't normally have. If you're having thoughts where you're thinking about hurting yourself, thinking about engaging in some negative behaviors, contact either the resiliency officer in your agency. Every agency in New Jersey has a resiliency officer. Contact 888 cop to cop, where you can contact Resilient Minds on the front lines. They have people that can come and get you assistance immediately. Okay. If it's so bad, if it's something with substance abuse, alcohol, or you feel like you're going to hurt yourself, we will get you assistance immediately. We will not even hang up the phone until somebody knocks on your door and is holding your hand, getting you assistance. So you can contact your agency resiliency officer. You can contact 888 cop to cop. You can contact Resilient Minds on the front lines. We will get you assistance immediately.
I like that.
So stay safe and
thanks, everyone.
And be ready.
All right, guys and girls. We'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Indeed.